Welcome, guys, to another episode of Not Just Football. We've got a great guest a little bit later. But Hayden, I guess we got some news to talk about.
A lot has happened the last 16 hours, my friend. Congratulations.
Wait, you've been counting?
No, Anthony told me before the record that it was 16 hours. So it's kind of all been jumbled together. Congratulations from everybody, honestly. We are so proud. Take us through it, man. What was it like yesterday?
Wow. Yesterday was a little bit crazy. First of all, I did not know. And I've said that multiple times. I still didn't believe it was happening because no one actually told me. It was just like, I guess it got leaked on Twitter somehow.
It did.
But for me, I wasn't really on Twitter, and I was just getting texts, and I was like, nobody's told me, so I don't think this is happening. And I told you, I told my wife, I told my mom, I was like, do not get your hopes up. It's probably not going to happen. And I was very surprised when it actually did.
I don't know if we're allowed to say it. Monday, you texted me and said, it's a no-go. It's not happening.
It's okay? A no-go.
Can you explain why you didn't think or what was going on? You seemed stressed about it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, so obviously you want to win the award, but it's an award that's so prestigious. And you want to be competitive, but at the same time, you know, guys are doing great work. There was a player mentioned that won a different award. And I was like, oh, he's probably going to win it. I'm not gonna be upset about it. I'm gonna be happy with the guy, enjoy the night, be with my wife, be with my family. It is what it is. But you know, we started getting close, and I literally went down the red carpet and I was like, thanks for thinking I might win it, but it's probably not gonna happen. And I was just trying to be cordial and, you know, temper expectations, but the night really took a turn. Got to see my friend Keegan-Michael Key put on a great show hosting. His wife actually produced and wrote for this honors, and they did an amazing job. It was a whirlwind. And then we haven't even gotten to this. Prince Harry.
That was coming. The question was coming. Don't worry, but go ahead. You can just take it away now.
Yeah. Prince Harry set up the Walter Payton Man of the Year honor. Before that, I'll even say this. My wife was very excited to see Taylor Lautner in the crowd. She was very excited to see that. But Prince Harry was there. He goes up, and I'm like, oh, shoot, he's about to introduce the Walter Payton Man of the Year. This is wild. Why is he here? This is, like, unbelievable. He is royalty. And I was just floored. When I saw the footage, I was like, oh, that's me. And, you know, I've heard years in the past, they've given people their speeches, and you can sometimes see them on the teleprompter. For me, they didn't ask for my speech, so I definitely didn't think it was me. But it was a chance to thank everybody, my teammates, my friends, my family, my coach, my supporters, the people who work with Hayward House. It was my mom, my brothers. It was just unbelievable. That's one of those moments that will always stick out. My wife was even talking about she's about to blow up the picture of me and Harry, and I'm like, I don't know how comfortable I feel having another man in my house like that, but I guess we're doing it. But
it's Prince Harry. That's okay.
It's Prince
You're
Harry.
Allowed to do that. I will say, too, at the speech,
yes,
the beginning of that, where, like, you genuinely seem shocked that it was Prince Harry that you just met. Not even you won the award.
Like, I like to think I don't get that starstruck around people, but, like, this is, like, international royalty. And I just was not ready for that moment. I had a speech ready that I had done 2 years ago. That, like, I was just, like, rereading. I was like, let me go through the Cliff Notes just a little bit. But, you know, today we got to start with Walter Payton Man of the Year community event down at the Boys and Girls Club. Got to interact. And I just can't say enough about the Walter Payton family. Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Connie, Jarrett, and Brittany, they do an amazing job representing their dad so well and husband that, you know, it's an honor to be chosen, but you understand that there's a lot of work that has to happen.
All right, I want you to be honest.
Yes.
When you saw the video, because obviously you weren't checking your phone because we were getting blown up.
Yeah.
Show. When you saw the video and saw you up there, were you like, oh, my speech is not there. How nervous were you walking up there? Like, I don't know what to say.
I wasn't as, I think I was just emotional. You know, my wife's here. My stepdad, my mom are right there. Miss Connie's behind me. And Miss Connie puts her arm on me and is just like, I told you it was going to happen. And, you know, Coach T's to my left. Mm-hmm. Najee's to my front. Coach T, before, he was like, I'm not coming out here just to watch you lose. I come here to watch you win. He's like, you know, I don't like award shows. This is for you. And I'm just appreciative that, like, you don't get that type of support from other organizations. No. You know, we had, you know, Angela and Blair, who handle most of the community stuff. Angela more PR and Blair just more community relations. Bert Lawton, who does, is head of the PR department. You know, Omar, who's our GM now. Danny Rooney was there and his wife. And so when I looked around, I saw Najee and I just saw my family. You were there. Mm-hmm. My agent was there. Mm-hmm. I really didn't put two and two together, but, you know, it's one of those moments where it was like, oh, man, like, I don't know if I was ready for this moment. I was excited.
No, and I'd say as somebody who's known you as long as I have, and I think your agent would agree with me, we all got a little emotional, especially during the speech. We know how much you wanted this and how proud we all are, but I cried. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I cried during the speech. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm a man and I cried.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy for you because I know how much you wanted it and how much you deserve it too.
Well, I think you were more obsessed with my suit. Let's talk about the fit.
Well,
the fit was,
listen,
was on point.
Compared to last year, too, I love this look a lot better. The velvet suit. I mean, my goodness, man. You just looked.
Okay, let's not crap on last year. Last year wasn't that terrible.
You were dressed like The Rock. Let's just call it what it was. You were
dressed like The Rock. Not even I was dressed like The Rock. I was dressed like the red carpet. And so there were multiple people who were like, oh, you've really changed since last year. And I was like, thank you, but you know, we definitely stepped on our game. My wife made the right calls at the right times, got me in a blue velvet suit, and we were fortunate enough to have a pretty cool looking suit. She dressed amazing.
Oh, she looked great. Yeah, she looked
great. I was a side piece to her, so you know, it was all fitting.
It was a great outfit. It was. One thing I do want to ask you about, we're in Omaha Productions, obviously, and a very special guy sent you a message. What was it like getting a message from Peyton Manning congratulating you?
Well, it was cool to actually have them include during the footage and when I got announced of him coming up to me and talking about when my dad played with him. Mm-hmm. But I've had, you know, Peyton, Drew Brees, and a couple other people just reach out and just say, welcome to the fraternity. It is what it is. And then, like, Joe Green calling me today and starting and calling it, hey, I'm Joe from Vegas. And I was like, okay, Joe from Vegas. And, you know, he went through his spiel and, you know, eventually said, you know, he's a Walter Payton Man of the Year. And I was like, oh, Joe from Vegas is Joe from Pittsburgh. Now Joe from Texas. And so having those moments where the fraternity welcomed me, especially Peyton, a guy I've looked up to, guy I respect, a guy who's my boss, who we haven't had on the pod yet.
Yes.
But it was really cool to have that moment.
Maybe now you can get him that you both are Walter Payton Man of the Year, right?
I know. I feel like I got to drop that card and plant that seed and say, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year to Walter Payton Man of the Year. Can we finally get you on the pod?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you got to use it, right? We got to use this as much as we can.
Yes.
I mean,
we said we were going to dress up in suits when he comes because we think it's a job
interview. It's a job interview. It's a part of the job interview is what we wanted to do. One thing I did want to ask, you mentioned Joe Green.
Yeah.
The guys who have won it, though, for the Steelers,
yes.
Jerome Bettis, Franco Harris, Joe Green.
Lynn Swann.
Yep. What's it like being in a group like that's all Hall of Famers, man. That is the top of the top. What's it like being a part of that fraternity now, the Steelers, Walter Payton Man winners?
That fraternity is special. First of all, the Hall of Fame fraternity is a one of a kind. Mm-hmm. But then you dwindle it down to four guys. I can't be more thankful and more honored to be a part of that group. You understand their shadow that you will always walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can be a part of that shadow now and just embrace their love of what they've done in the community, the way Joe Green would say, if you're not in a game on Sunday afternoon watching the ball game, like Like, that's stuff that touches me. Mm-hmm. And he, like, through that speech he did at the Hall of Fame, you knew he was part of the community. Mm-hmm. Because he only cared about Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And nobody else could take that away from him. And I was just appreciative to hear a call from like that from him. And, you know, I got to interact with Mel Blunt. And mm-hmm. I got to see some of the other Gold Jackets. And they were just like, man, you don't understand how big this award is. And I will never forget this moment.
I don't think people realize, too, how much you wanted this. Obviously, you don't do the community work for the award.
No.
But this is a very important award. I don't know where it ranks on what you want to accomplish, but I think people need to realize how important this really is to you.
It's not something you just check off. It's something you circle. Mm-hmm. And it's something you've always wanted. We've always talked about. But timing is everything. And, you know, my wife was talking to me today. She was like, your dad was 34, the number 34, Walter Payton number 34, your age number 34. It was just like everything happens at a perfect time. You know, you go through not winning it for, you know, five other times to finally win your sixth time. You don't want it to be a longevity performance. And, no. You know, something was like, you know, well, we should give it to him. He's the oldest guy in the room. But the work speaks for itself, and I understand we got more work.
Yeah, you're becoming the Jim Kelly of this award. Where you get
hey,
there,
chill out,
you get,
bro. I'm not Kelly. The Jim Kelly.
You were
of this
though.
Award.
You were coming. You just couldn't finish it. I mean, that was the issue. I'm just really happy for you. But I want to know. So you've been Prince Harry. What's been the craziest interaction since you won? Has anybody else reached out other than Joe Green?
I think the Prince Harry of it all. I literally have a picture. Prince Harry, Keegan-Michael Key, and it's just me, and it's like a moment that is to honor me. Like, I don't know if you can really top that. People were like, who else could you get next year? And I don't know who you could get, because me presenting the award for the next Walter Payton Man of the Year winner is not going to do it.
It is kind of a letdown, I will say.
Oh,
it's Prince Harry.
Thanks, Hayden.
It's royalty.
Thank
you. You're right. But, I mean, listen, it's still awesome, man. We're really proud of you. And I
will say one other thing. I was asked today, can I repeat as the Walter Payton Man of the Year for next year? No, you can't. And I've checked the fine print. They will put me away from it. They will put me down, and we'll move on to the next guy.
Can you win it again?
No, you can't.
You can never win it again.
No, there's not a two-time winner of the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Well, maybe that should be the next goal, is become the first two-time
winner.
No,
we're not doing that. there's plenty of other guys. I talked about TJ, the work he's doing with 412 Rescue, 412 Food Rescue, Minka, finding ways to get back with Cafe Momentum, Levi Wallace, finding ways, Alex Highsmith, Larry Ogunjobi. I love Larry Ogunjobi's cool thing he does during camp, where they have an etiquette class and he's teaching kids how to be at a dinner table. So, and, you know, show respect. So all these different things, there's going to be a lot more Pittsburgh Steelers in the running for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I just get to be a guy that says, hey, I'm out of the picture. Y'all got it. Go for it. I'll be supporting you. And hopefully I can give you a little warp.
You got to give them some pointers. That's what we need to do. You got to help these guys out now that you know what it takes to win it.
But 6 years, I don't think I have any pointers at this point.
But it feels like you've gotten so close. So it's like you have an idea of what it takes to get there. And now you finally climbed the mountain. So congratulations. Also, how cool was it, though, having that host be the one? I know you seem to be pretty close with Keegan. So that had to be pretty cool, him being the host this year when you won it.
I was talking to him last night, and I was just like, we talked about, you know, one day you hosting again and, you know, you present an award to me. And he didn't present the award for me, but he hosted the award for me. So, you know, Keegan's a dear friend, him and his wife. And to have that moment backstage with them was truly special.
Yeah, man. It was great. I'm so thankful that I was able to be a part of it, too. It was, like I said, I cried. So thank you for making me cry like a baby in front of a bunch of people at the Honors Awards.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
it's about
that.
Time.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So thank you. Congratulations again, Cam.
Thank
We're all
you.
Very proud
congratulations
of you.
To me, and congratulations to everybody here. We have a special episode with Little Dicky. I can't believe we got him, but guys, take a listen. Make sure you like and subscribe. It's been an honor being here at Super Bowl. You guys are going to love this episode. He's one of the coolest people you ever meet. He talks about the show, talks about his music, talks about the new album he just released, talks about Baja Blast, which we both love.
Yes,
so
we do. Yes,
have
we do.
Fun with that. Thank you so much. That's Not Just Football. See you later.
Good luck, guys.
Appreciate it. Good luck to you, too. Yeah.
That is the first person to say good luck to us before. Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. You know me, you know Hayden, but now you get to know the man himself, the writer, the actor, the gifted rapper.
Thank you.
And the smartest person at this table right
by
now.
By far.
I don't know.
By far.
I don't know.
Mister, you want me to call you Lil Dicky, Dave Bird? You name it.
Either or. Thanks for having me, guys. It's an honor to be here. This man's been supporting my career from day one.
I wouldn't say supporting. I like what you do, man.
Well, I've noticed you tweet it every now and then, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. I love the new album, by the way.
Thank you.
What's harder, doing a TV show or an album?
They're different. Like, TV show is probably harder.
Yeah.
It's harder in the sense that, like, you have to work more hours, and it's more of a grind. That being said, there's, like, more deadlines and more of a definitive ending to certain things, whereas an album can really, like, go on. You can, like, be working on it for, like, in my case, like, it's been like 10 years since I've put out that. But, like, TV show really wears you down. Like, it's really a grind from the moment, especially because I'm kind of involved in every, I'm like the main writer, I'm in all the scenes, I'm really involved in the directing, and then, like, editing, I'm in every day, and I'm involved in the scoring of everything.
Dude,
and the color,
awesome.
It's like a whole year-long process where I kind of have to work like 14-hour days every day just to hit the air dates.
Wow.
No. So it's harder with deadlines, like, physically.
Yeah.
But I think music might be mentally harder because it's more open-ended. There's, like, not an end, you know?
Well, it feels like the new album, though, is kind of mixed in with the TV show.
It
too,
is,
so that
yeah.
had to be a little bit more challenging, too, right?
Well, I actually would say it was easier in the sense that, like, I you know, it was like there's a parameter, like, with this album, which is, like, every song that is in this album has been in the TV show in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So my options are, like, limited in that regard. And, like, it can only be what it is. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was actually, like, a nice organizing force that didn't allow me to be like, well, which one of these 100 other songs should I, you know what I mean? So it was nice to have parameters.
Well, like, I'm just thinking about it, man. Like, did you know you wanted to start a TV show at, like, an early age, or just?
I knew I wanted to be a comedian. And
yeah.
When I thought about what that meant, I never, for whatever reason, I have nothing but respect for stand-up comedy, but I just never saw myself, like, on stage doing stand-up. I saw myself being, like, you know, Adam Sandler was in those movies and like Seth Rogen was, you know, so I always felt like it was, like, on screen. Probably, like, envisioned more movies than a TV show, but I don't know. You know, when I became a rapper to get noticed for being funny. And then I realized, like, wow, my life on a day-to-day level is that of a TV show. This would be a great platform for me to showcase my comedic chops. And here
Dude,
we
that's
are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get into this because we've been going back and forth about this.
Yeah.
Philly, Mount Rushmore of sports.
Oh, sure. I don't have my answer off the top of my head, so you're getting the real train
that's
of thought.
That's what
All right.
And this is my personal, which is based on, okay, number one, and actually in no particular order, I would go Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got to be.
Wow. We didn't think he'd make it.
I thought you were going to go AI.
Well, he is.
AI. We figured AI would be one.
AI is on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Especially culturally. It's hard.
Yeah.
No championship. But, you know, I put AI on there. So now I got two spots left.
Yeah.
I would go Brian Dawkins.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay, this okay. last
that's
spot
a
is
great one. This is a great one. But
how could you not have Brian Dawkins? I don't understand. Like, what more could
Well, that's your age, too. You grew up watching Brian Dawkins destroy people, too.
For
so,
a decade,
yeah.
And then my last one.
Oh,
it's so hard because, I mean, I got to honor the 2008 Phillies, in my opinion.
Okay.
Ryan Howard was the most dominant, but his stretch of dominance wasn't long enough. And Utley had a longer stretch, but he wasn't as dominant as Ryan Howard. Honestly, Jimmy Rollins.
I love Jimmy Rollins.
I'm going to go Jimmy Rollins because he was a leader. He was the leader of that team for like 5 years before they were even good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he won the MVP, Gold Glover, Like, and I just love, I love him as an analyst too. I still like, I don't really follow baseball the way I follow football and basketball, but I was pleasantly surprised to see him and Pedro Martinez as like main analysts of baseball, and they were killing it. Mm-hmm. And I like love when like a player I love is a great analyst.
Mm. The Phillies team had what?
Who did I leave out though?
Dr. J.
Julius Erving.
Yeah.
I mean, I left out Julius Nick Foles too. Potentially.
No way.
And
I
agree he didn't do enough, but I could see why somebody would want him in there because he won a Super Bowl.
I love Nick Foles, but come on. No way he's a backup quarterback.
But he won the Super Bowl.
Eight games, bro.
Look,
eight games.
I love Nick Foles. He won them the Super Bowl. I'm also not one to like discredit Carson Wentz. Like, we don't win that Super Bowl without him being like the MVP of the league for like 15 games.
Yeah.
But Cam tried to say, he's like, well, he didn't do anything in the Super Bowl. I'm like, Cam, he had like 373 and four total touchdowns. Oh, he was amazing.
He had a great game.
And he torched Belichick.
And he caught a touchdown.
And he caught, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I could see
that
game. That game was so, it was the best game I've ever
seen. Great play.
Back and forth and back and
forth. Where were you?
I was in Philly.
Remember?
I was offered free tickets. I think it was in Minneapolis that game. Turned it down to go back to Philly to watch with my 10 best high school friends who like I grew up watching every game with, and they won. And, you know, we stormed the city afterwards. And that night was like, just, you know, normally if you like bump into somebody in Philly, it's like a problem. That night you bump into somebody and they're hugging you. And
it was greased out the poles. That
yeah, they greased out. Yeah. That's just a joy to be there. It was the right decision. It was honestly the best night of my life. When I asked, what's the best night of my life?
Really?
It was the night the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and I was in Philly with all my best friends.
That's the best night of your
life. Best night of my life.
With
so far.
What you've accomplished? It's...
What have I... It's the only Super Bowl I've ever accomplished.
Well, that's fair.
Every year I watch the Eagles, I watch every single game. They never win. They won that year. I'm with all my high school friends.
So this year was tough.
It was tough.
Sports was rough,
it's been a rough couple, yeah, it's been rough.
Look, I would also much rather like compete every year. Like, I would rather compete, be competitive for 10 years straight, never win one, than like win one and suck. You know, so I'm really happy to be in the conversation every year as a Philly sports fan. So it was rough, but it was also like not really. We had hope for the 90% of the season.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to bring up like one of your not so fond moments.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb, you wanted him drafted in 2020 draft. You didn't get the rationale that they took Jalen Hurts in the second round. And you said, I don't think he'll be able to beat out Nate Sudfield.
That?
For the backup.
When did I say that? Where'd you find this?
Wow. I got people.
Yeah. Well, look, let me say this. One, I was wrong. Two, as soon as I saw Jalen Hurts play, when he got any burn, I was all in on Jalen Hurts. Like, as far as those high school friends that I talked about, they were like, I don't know. And I was like, what are we talking about here? This guy is like such a winner. Like, I could tell immediately. So all I had to do was see him play. And I will say CeeDee Lamb is a really good player. But I was wrong about the Nate Sudfield thing.
In your defense, though, too, I think a lot of people had the same sentiment about Jalen Hurts.
We also had Carson Wentz, who had, like, prime Carson Wentz. Yeah. I was like, this guy's like the next Peyton Manning at that time.
Yeah. No,
I was wrong about that.
He's going to win the MVP the year he won the Super Bowl, then he tore his knee up.
Yeah.
One thing you weren't wrong about, though, is when you said if you were a woman, you'd date Travis Kelce, too.
I would. You guys, have you ever seen a white man dance like that? Have you?
No.
I've never seen
it. No.
He looks
You got some moves too.
Not like him. No one like looks cooler than Travis Kelce. This is even way before Taylor. Like the man has been the man for the past decade, and he's the best ever at what he does.
Oh, you think he's the best tight end ever?
I think so. I mean,
because
he's got like 5 years left.
No, he's amazing.
What about Gronk, though?
I said Gronk's one that I
would
say.
I don't know. I think right now, if Kelce retired right now, is Gronk that far ahead of him, if at all?
Ooh.
Is he? I don't know.
It's a fun game to play. I don't
know. Like, what are their, I don't know. I feel like, hasn't he surpassed Gronk in all of the stats?
Yeah.
How many rings does Gronk have? Three?
He gets the third this year, and you're right, he's got more on.
So I think he's going to beat him in every statistical category, and I also think he truly has 5 years left.
Mm. And doesn't Taylor Swift just kind of maybe take you to another level then? Maybe?
I'm not going to – no, not for me. Like, you know, the last thing I
– Wait, so can we not expect a collab between you and Taylor Swift?
I love Taylor Swift. I got nothing but love for Taylor Swift. I think, like, I've never met her. When I look at her from afar, I think I would love to hang out with that person. She seems smart, driven, and cool.
Yes.
All that being said, I don't like the narrative of Travis Kelce – has been like put on by her. This man is like the best of all time.
Yeah.
And has been.
My wife did that, where she was like, isn't it crazy how Taylor Swift just made Travis Kelce so popular? And I'm like, he's the best tight end ever. He's won 3 Super Bowls. What are you talking about?
But they're great. It's like, honestly, it makes America feel like high school.
It does.
Like, most popular pop star on your best. It's cool. And I love it. And I think it, like, warms the collective heart of America.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cam mentioned on our show, he wants to have a celebrity flag football game at next year's Pro Bowl. And he wanted you to play in it.
It's in Hawaii still or no?
Orlando. I wish it was in Hawaii. I'm sorry, bud.
Would you play in it?
Maybe. Honestly, my main priority is playing in a celebrity basketball game.
How have you not gotten that yet?
I basically, at the moment I was able to get it, my back started hurting. And my back has been hurting for 2 years. Only recently am I coming out of that funk of my back hurting. So I'm ready to play. That being said, I want to really train for a month, because I want to play in that game and score like 43 points. You know what I mean? Mm. Until I feel confident in my game, I'm not going to play in it. I think next year, I think I'm going to literally take this year and like build towards next year's celebrity basketball game.
Mm. Who does Lil Dicky model his basketball game after?
Look,
who are you?
I am Steph, but I've been saying that since he was a freshman at Davidson. Like, I hate that he's become like one of the best players ever. When Steph Curry was a freshman at Davidson,
he was a dog.
I had his picture as my Facebook profile picture.
Really?
I had his jersey. I ordered it from the Davidson bookstore. I was obsessed with this man. And of course, he became what he became. And now it's like less cool to like be a Steph fan.
Yeah.
But the reason I loved him, and I'm not exaggerating, I was like, I've never seen anyone at the Division I level play like I do. Where it's like, we're not the most like innately athletic.
No,
like, we're just savvy and we're lights out shooters and we get it up quick and our handle is crafty and we're undersized and slender. That's how I feel. That's how I've always been. That's how you go back and look at my junior Jewish basketball league footage. It's a young Steph Curry.
We got to get you We need you on our team.
I'm ready to play.
Can we get that footage sent to us? I want to see you.
Pre-iPhone.
Steph Curried it up. Man. Dude, my goodness.
All I think about when he's talking about this is when I got drafted.
Yeah.
It was the day of the draft. I was just trying to blow off some steam. And we went to this place called Lifetime.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm playing against, like, all these kids. And, like, I'm taking it way too seriously.
Yeah.
And there was a kid who kind of, like, undercutted me. And I kind of went at him the entire day.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, if we had had you in that moment.
Oh, I would have said, hey, big fella. You just got drafted.
Well, no, he hadn't even got drafted yet.
Yeah.
We're like, you got to get arrested the day of draft.
This is the last thing we need. Yeah. Get out of the gym. I would have got you out of the gym.
That's going to hurt the draft status.
For sure.
Getting arrested.
I don't know what the heck you were doing that
day. I know. It's take things way too
seriously. It worked out well for you.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. I want to bring up these.
Yes.
Mountain Dew. Baja Blast. Love
it. I don't know about you guys, but like, I had been going to Taco Bell for like 20 years.
Facts.
Only seeing Baja Blast, this mythical soda flavor, in the drive-thru of Taco Bell.
Yes.
And when I learned that it's now for the first time in 20 years being bottled and canned and like distributed nationwide, I was like, I'm happy to be the messenger of this information. Obviously, I'm being paid by Mountain Dew to give you that information, but it's a message that I deliver with pride, because I love Baja Blast. So I also hosted a radio show, because, you know, the drive from LA to Vegas is so boring and it can like take so much longer than you think it would take. So I have all the best songs and jams curated, and it's a fun time. And yeah, I'm just here with Mountain Dew Baja Blast, keeping it real for you.
Ooh, I love that.
Too. We appreciate that somebody's actually used
it. I'm not a corporate sheep. Come in, I align myself with brands that I respect and I enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So in your show, you use the Oculus, right?
Uh-huh.
How are we feeling about the Apple Pro Vision?
I got to get one. You got one? I need one.
I don't have one yet.
He's been trying to convince me. He's like, you can watch like 7 screens on it. I'm like, that seems like overstimulation.
It's great for like the sports experience, I think.
I see it and I'm interested. It's like $3,500 or something.
Yeah.
I got to get a free one. So like that's my headspace. Like,
I'm there too.
Who's bringing me the free Apple thing?
Yeah.
I'm ready though. I'm ready to strap in.
Bro, we got to get it.
Yeah.
We got to get it.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? 2 words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the type of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. License to the Horseshoe Bossier City in Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
All right, quick questions.
Yeah.
Cam's Blitz.
Okay.
Here we go. If you were to perform at the Super Bowl, what's your leading off track?
It's not even going to be a track. It's going to be a page out of the Michael Jackson playbook where you pop up and then you wait. Did you see the clip where he, like, you know, where he comes up from here and then he comes up from here? But that's like the fake Michael. You haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Google Michael Jackson halftime show, and I don't know which one it is, but basically it's like a guy who looks like him up here, a guy who looks like him up here, and then he pops on the real stage and he stands there. I'm not exaggerating. He stands there for like a minute like this and waits and just looks around. In like the most prime, like the amount of money that that minute costs. Mm-hmm. And he stands there, doesn't say a word, and just gets a standing ovation for like a solid minute. And then he goes like, and moves his head. It's great. You got to watch it. So I would just stand there for like, try to beat his time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like Going Gray. I love Going Gray. Yeah, or
it's too much of a downer.
Or I like it too, but it makes me feel better about myself. Okay, I'm old.
Good for you. You got a nice time.
Yeah, like, you noticed the gray.
Yes, yeah, going gray. Yeah. Are we good? You can do with Gator.
That's true. That's true. I have options, but like I said, sometimes silence is the best.
I like that he's thought about this so much. Yes. Though.
You guys got to look it up.
I'm going to look it
up. It's unbelievable how long he stands silent.
It's almost like awkward. He's standing
It's like four times the length. Get louder. Have you seen it? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Along with that, dream musical collab.
Dream musical collab. Look, the men that pop into my mind are Kanye and Drake. You know, I was fortunate enough one time to be in a studio with both of them at once. And I said to them while I had them there, I said, fellas, I want you to know that you guys are by far my favorite musical artists. And whoever is like third is like, there's what a gap. And those two, like, I feel like really formed my brain. You know, when you listen to music, like Kanye is a kid who like wants to do anything in life to have like Kanye college dropout like in your ear when he's like, you can do anything in life, like,
yeah,
really inspiring. And then when I became a rapper, that's when like Drake really started to like, and like Drake is such a competitive like layup line type of music that always like gets me going line. As a rapper.
My bad. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked about Philly sports Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh.
Non-sports Mount Rushmore in Philly.
Yeah. Look, in this version of it, I'm going to say Kobe.
Oh.
Love it.
Because I don't think he qualifies under the Philly Sports Mount Rushmore.
Yes. But we had this conversation.
Yes. In this version, I think he goes there. I'm going to go Will Smith.
Got to have him.
I'm going to go Bradley Cooper.
Okay. Ooh, Silverlining's playbook.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just getting started too. And this man, you know, I like what he's doing. Yeah. Writing and directing all these, you know, huge movies. It's really cool. I got one more slot. Philly.
There's two people I think of.
I mean, Taylor Swift is not Philly to me. She's Pennsylvania.
Yeah. We don't even claim her in Pittsburgh, so.
Yeah. Who do you think of?
I think of you, one.
I was thinking that too.
And then I think of Rocky.
So that's Kevin Hart from Philly?
Oh,
yeah. Kevin Hart is from Philly.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm going to go me.
I love that.
Over Kevin. Absolutely. I'm gonna go me over Kevin Hart last.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. It's good.
Sorry, Kevin.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, Kev.
Yeah, I love Kevin Hart.
All right, we have a special game. Date Murray, Mary, Swerve, female rappers.
Okay. You're going to name a name, right?
Yeah.
No.
No, you're going to give us
you
names.
You name, who would you date, who would you marry,
and
who
would
you Swerve. Female
rapper. First off, I'm a taken man. If I was a single man.
There you go. Yeah. I like the way you start
right?
that.
Am I right? Love you, sweetheart.
Very smart. Very, very smart. That's a veteran right there.
It's date. Mary Curve?
Swerve.
We couldn't do, yeah.
I don't want to swerve anybody. That's mean to swerve somebody.
Okay.
So I won't swerve anybody.
Okay.
Date? I've always dreamt of going on a date with Nicki Minaj. I don't know why. I just like have always envisioned being at dinner with Nicki Minaj and it being like a really interesting date.
What's going to be the food choice?
Steak.
There you go. Nice. There you go.
I don't know.
Very big ballin' over there.
And Mary, female,
go Eve.
Ooh, Eve Philly. Ooh. I thought of Lauryn Hill. Like,
oh,
I like that. I like that.
Lauryn Hill
back
would
in
be
the miseducation.
Very, very, yes. Nice. Very nice.
Like, what a woman when she came on.
Oh,
what a woman.
Before her time.
Yeah.
All right, last question. It's a two-parter. Favorite Usher song? Mm. And what do you think he's going to open up with in his halftime performance?
Favorite Usher song is probably Let It Burn.
Oh.
Good song.
And right up there with it is You Got It Bad. I don't think he starts with either of those because they're both kind of like emo, for lack of a better
word. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like he should start with like You Don't Have to Call, like After Tonight, like Don't Leave Your Girl, like, you know, that video where he was skating and like.
I could see that. We've all been saying
that's
but
the
I feel like you got to end with.
You gotta ends with yeah.
That's what Cam initially said, and I was like, start it. But now that you just said that,
imagine him slide. It's such a good like. After Tonight.
Don't you leave
like,
your
girl?
Yeah.
Oh. It would really set the vibe.
And I'm gonna trust your judgment more than mine. So
first concert I ever went to was an Usher concert in my whole life. First one.
Wow, like, that's the way it started off. Mine was B2K and Bow Wow.
That's cool too.
B2K and Bow Wow? Really? That's cool too. Wow.
Yeah, it was all right.
I'm right there with you.
His better than your B2K.
Well, it was
and
like
Bow Wow.
You Got Served just came out, so I was like, oh, snap.
It was trendy. Yeah.
You Got Served.
All right, guys, that's been another episode of Not Just Football. I want to say thank you to Lil Dicky for coming on.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great, man. Thanks for coming on.
Dude, we need to be friends because I feel like we could totally hit it off.
I am your friend.
Appreciate that, bro.
Big hands this man has. Hands.
Thanks, man.
This guy's got big hands too for
another guy. I do not have that big hands. I don't.
They're bigger than mine.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.